Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hey, welcome in to the Monday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. We got a busy week here for you on the program. Thanksgiving right around the corner, but still a week to go before we get there. Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing okay. I'd like to hear about your trip to Colorado. I mean, you told me a lot about it in our extensive pre-show meeting.
Yes.
But, you know, if you tell the people, I'd let, you know, tell the people how the trip
was. Well, it was lovely. My first time really seeing the Rocky Mountains, much less being in them. So, Friday, did a little hiking. Got up to, we only got up to like 9,200 feet on Friday. Still pretty high.
That's almost 2 miles.
It's pretty far up there. But a nice little hike. It a lot of snow there last week that did not melt, which apparently is not going to melt on top of the mountain. But so, like, if you look at the pictures, it looks like we're in Hoth from Star Wars. But it was like 56 degrees. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was pretty nice. Enjoyed that. Hung out around Denver on Saturday. Found a Tennessee Vols bar on Saturday night. Watched the Tennessee-Georgia game. That one didn't go well.
Well, it was going well for a while.
It was going well for a little bit. And then on Sunday, just kind of hung out, went to some other towns around Denver. It was nice. Nice trip. A little Rocky Mountain fresh air, baby. I'm rejuvenated. Ready to go.
Nice. Any Rocky Mountain oysters?
Did not have any Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah. Next time.
Next time. Yeah. Next time. May have to get those. Kieser, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Yeah, doing well. Stayed up a little bit for that Preds game last night, but not all of it. Just couldn't make it, man.
How about those Preds?
I know. They finally got a win on the road. Game 3 of 5 on their trip. There you
go. Game 4.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Needed it.
It's gone by so fast. Yeah.
Yeah. They did need it. No doubt about that. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Vikings yesterday. Titans dropped to 2-8. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit as well from News 2. We will briefly get into Tennessee and Georgia today at some point. We'll kind of focus a little bit more on that tomorrow. But Titans lose 23-13 to the Minnesota Vikings. They drop to 2-8 on the season. Will Levis, 17-31, 295 yards, one touchdown, one pick, QB rating of 84.7. But statistically, pretty good day for Will Levis yesterday. And we all know what happens when you throw the ball to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He makes you look smart. That's what he did. Two catches, 117 yards, including the 98-yard touchdown for NWI yesterday. But Joe, ultimately, not enough again, and the Titans dropped to 2-8. They only scored 13 points. And Will Levis was talking about it after the game of, you know, I haven't won a football game all year, and that's something that I'm chasing down right now. Another disappointing ending for the Tennessee Titans yesterday.
Yeah, good team, you know, very good team. I mean, Minnesota is good. I'm very interested today and this week to hear the Will Levis conversation from fans because I think that's the best he's played easily. I mean, his rating was 104, and he throws a, you know, throw-it-up pick at the end. It's too bad for him. He couldn't have had another turnover-free day. To me, it was a turnover-free quality day with, you know, a late heave that gets caught by the other team, but – He was pretty good. He's getting better, you know. There's no doubt. I mean, that's two in a row. So he's kind of making it interesting. I think we've talked about it before. Like, hey, maybe something different can happen with this team. A lot of things are the same. You know, 13 points, he's getting the teen somewhere. lose, don't make enough plays. But Levis is at least making it more interesting. And there were some calls yesterday that were absolutely atrocious on the
– No doubt.
You know, like if the color analyst on the broadcast is almost like losing his mind as much as the coach is. I mean, it wasn't that bad because Brian Callahan absolutely – hey, man, if you got the ball at the one, that's when you get your 15-yard penalty.
Go nuts, man. Yeah. I mean,
okay, great. So move it 6 inches closer. They got first and goal inside the one. I don't care. Get another one. Because that was a bad call, obviously.
It's brutal.
Yeah. But, you know, that's one of those, like, that call is one of those where you would like it to be almost like in college. In college, you have targeting.
Yeah.
And so the targeting thing gives you that mechanism for review. And, you know, I do feel like something like this that would be good for the NFL to have some sort of review mechanism there, because, you know, in real time it did look like, oh my god, what a hit, and a lot of times those get flagged. Then you slow it down, you're like, oh no, there's nothing wrong with the hit. But you don't get to slow it down when you're watching in real time, you know. And you either make the call or you don't. I like a review mechanism there, and I know we review a lot of stuff
well
already.
But that's one of those things that I think should be, like, you know, we've now devolved in football to every time there's a hard hit, the immediate thought is, well, that can't be legal, it must be a flag. And that's what that was yesterday. He's like, oh, wow, he got hit really hard over the middle. It's got to be a flag. And you go back and you look at it, and you're just like, what are we doing? Like, that's as clean as it gets over the middle there. And that's what you – first off, I loved Ryan Callahan losing his mind on that play. Like, every now and then, I think it's warranted to do that and to just go nuts. And I'm glad that he did it. And like you said, where they were on the field, I mean, it's not really hurting you when you're doing that at that point. But we've got to come up with a way to not just immediately default to, oh my god, he got hit hard, so it's got to be a flag. And that's what this has turned into, and it's brutal to watch at times. Just brutal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's why the review is worthwhile, you know, because, like, the defenseless player thing is, I get it, you know. I mean, it's good to protect guys like that. But yeah, I mean, if you're actually not hitting someone in the head, if you hit them in the head there, then fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. It looked like it could have been. Now, again, that's still watching on, like, TV from afar. It looked like it could have been. You know, you would hope that, like, being closer, like the officials were, would give you a better look. But it's bang, bang. But again, then you can look at it and say, okay, no. And instead, it's like you throw the flag or you don't, and that's it. It's kind of like the Vols, you know, the face mask call on Georgia. Again, not reviewable. Most refs are going to call a face mask in that situation, whether it is or not.
Well, and you know, then you have the, you know, the pool report after the game. So Nick Suss is asking Cleet Blakeman about it, and it just the total, like, acting like we're just dumb. So the question about the, you know, Suss basically asked him just what the decision was there and what they saw it. Well, we had two officials call it. Essentially, the defensive player launched into the receiver, who's considered a defenseless player, and there was helmet contact to the chest and neck area. And so apparently, he went on this big thing about how they were in line together with their decision. Both of them saw it and all this other thing. It's like, every now and then, it's okay to just say, you know what? Hey, guys, we screwed one up. Like, that, it's okay to just every now and then say, you know what? It's a fast game in real time. It looked more violent than it actually was. It looked like an illegal hit. We screwed it up. Our bad.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be refreshing? Yeah, I mean, again, if – I don't remember. Did the rules – analyst, the rule, Sterator, he did get upset about the call on James Williams, the horse collar.
Yes.
So, you know, it's always good when the rules analyst doesn't, actually says he doesn't like a call. That's always
doesn't
good.
Happen very often.
No, I mean, it's, and that's the thing. It's like, at that point, I guess I would hope that the ref would have watched the replay. I'm sure they did. At that point, when they're doing the pool report,
you would think.
They didn't launch. I mean, like, that's just inaccurate. Like, if you've seen the replay at that point and you're saying launch, it wasn't. It was a bang bang play, and he just, I mean, he hit him, but there was no launching. So, yeah, it's just lying, basically.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they think we're all idiots. We can't use our eyeballs.
So this is one of those situations where, to me, they need more. So this is where accountability comes in, and it's a real problem to me with officiating. You know, they don't want the public to know what their evaluations of officials are. They don't want to know who got fined. They don't want to know who got taken off games the next week. You know, they want to keep that private. Well, this is where, you know, and honestly, this is where, and I know the whole league would frown on this, but like if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, I'm like, you know what? I want the people to know that that they came back to us and said, yeah, we were wrong.
Yep.
And I'll pay your fine, Brian. But, you know, that probably won't happen. And we won't know. Now, sometimes coaches will kind of, you know, hint at it, let it slip in here and there. And obviously, Brian Callahan has done that a little bit this year with other stuff. But
I was interested to see if Brian Callahan would take the Josh Heupel approach of being asked about a penalty and just turning the microphone around and letting the reporters discuss it.
He tried to get Sparkles to, you know. He tried to get him to – here, you say it, man.
That was pretty good. Yeah. I don't know that I've seen that one before.
No, that was interesting. Good. Yeah. That was interesting.
If that call doesn't go against the Titans, do they win the game yesterday? I don't know. Like, it's hard to really know that. But, I mean, it's a fourth down play. It's fourth down. Like, I saw some people on Twitter, like, around the league, it was like, that's a 4-point swing for the Titans. It's like, no, that's a 7-point swing for the Vikings against the Titans. Right. It's fourth down.
It's Titans ball. Well, and then look, as they're trying to make a comeback, I mean, and again, Adam Archuleta was furious at the officials, but you know the Brownlee illegal contact thing. It was press coverage on Justin Jefferson. I mean, talk about a star call. That was bad, and that led to a touchdown too. Now, granted, you also don't have to let them then rip through you like a knife through hot butter after that, if you're the Titans. But the fact is, those touchdowns, key penalties were preceded all three of theirs. And then, of course, the Hopkins or the Ridley touchdown was a beautiful pass by Levis, gets taken away by, you know, Isaiah Prince, let's try you at right tackle. Can I line up at H-back? No. You have to line up on the line, Isaiah. Okay, Nick, you go back in. Oh, God, everybody cover your eyes.
It's like, wow, you're 6 yards in the backfield. How's that going back there?
Can I get a carry?
Well, it couldn't hurt yesterday. That's the one thing. You know, we're going to talk a lot about Levis today, obviously. The inability, just total inability to run the ball yesterday was not good for the Titans. They ended up 19 carries.
We haven't seen that much.
For 33 yards. That's 1.7 a carry. And by the way, 19 carries for 33 yards. The leading rusher was Will Levis, 7 carries for 18 yards, which means Spears had 3 for 0 and Pollard 9 for 15. Not a good day running the ball yesterday.
No, and that's one thing that we're not used to seeing. You know, look, it's a very good defense. I will give the Titans credit. Now, not for their offensive line play, which, again, speaking of Adam Archuleta's anger, he was just blown away by their inability to communicate protections. Yeah. But, I mean, they hit him over the top.
Yeah.
And I give Levis credit for seeing things. That is obviously, as we've talked about, that defense has confounded many a quarterback, and they hit him over the top, you know. But, yeah, the inability to run the ball, we're very – I mean, it's indicative, I think, of the Vikings' defense, but also I would never expect the Titans to be in a game not being able to run the ball at all.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're off and running today. On the Titans, they lose 23-13 to the Minnesota Vikings. They drop to 2-8. Will Levis, 17-31, 295 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick yesterday. Is he starting to turn a corner? And if so, what does that mean for the quarterback discussion for this franchise moving forward? We'll get your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Titans lose 23-13 to Minnesota. By the way, Minnesota moves to 8-2. Titans to 2-8. Quick side note, NFC North right now. Lions are 9-1, Vikings are 8-2, Packers are 7-3. It's quite the division.
It is quite the division. And the Bears almost had a win. They had their own kicker issues, I guess. Bears and the Bengals.
I'm sure that'll come up with Corey Curtis a little bit later.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll come up.
You kept your mouth shut the whole time in that text thread with Ryan from Chicago.
I did. It happens every time.
And then you had the little laughing emoji.
The little Ryan Gosling laughing.
Ryan Gosling laughing.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. Who could have seen that one coming?
Save it for then.
Titans lose 23-13. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Josh in Cookeville. Josh, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Robbie. Morning, Joe. How are you guys?
Good, man.
Good.
Good. So I was listening to Mike Keith yesterday on my way home from church, and he talked about that we had the third most penalized crew going into the game. I know we had lots of mental mistakes, so I don't want to blame the refs for everything, but why is it the Titans seem to get the most penalized crews in our games?
Yep, thanks for the call, Josh. I guess the referring to the actual
most penalties
clue
called
itself.
Yeah, yep. like how much they call penalties.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think the refs get thrown around, dispersed, for the most part, pretty evenly. But, I mean, look, after some of the calls that went their way yesterday, we talked about, you know, the week before with the fumble and in L.A. too. Like, it does just feel like right now whenever there's a call that's a big call in the game, the Titans are on the wrong side of it. Do I believe, like, this is some National Football League conspiracy against the Tennessee Titans? No, I don't. But it is, like, if you're a player in that locker room, it's like right now, it's like, man, can we get a break on a call at some point? Because it's just not coming right now with the officials.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a weekly thing, but there have been other times this year, of course, where I think they had legitimate beef, and no time more than yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, just, I mean, I don't know the answer in terms of, yeah, what the crews they get. They've had several different crews and different levels of, because, yeah, I mean, I know Mike likes to, he lays it out there on, in terms of what they call more and all that stuff. Has them, you know, it's, I mean, have they had Blakeman this year before this?
I don't even know. Well, and some crews, like, in, you know, Mike Keith's always done a good job of this. Like, some crews are more apt to call holding on you. Some crews are more apt to, you know, really dig in on blocking the back. Like, it's just, it's kind of interesting to break down when you go crew by crew.
Yeah, it's a lot of, the what people really focus on is, you know, how much they call, you know, holding downfield on the defense, PI, legal contact, because certainly there's definitely some subjectivity there, and some crews let a lot more go than others. Again, like from what I saw yesterday, some of the stuff that was going on, that Brownlee call on Jefferson was just a killer, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just keeps a drive alive, and then, you know, the Titans had all the momentum. But, there's also maybe something to, and actually, you know, Brian Callahan said this a few weeks ago, but it's like sometimes you make your own luck, and sometimes if you're – I mean, frankly, he didn't say this, but like, if you're a bad team, you know, a lot of times you don't get the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. It's probably not fair, but that's how it goes sometimes.
Yep. So Will Levis, 17-31, 295, a touchdown, a pick, QB rating of 84.7 yesterday. Had the big play down the field to NWI. Had another one to Ridley that was taken off the board. Had another great pass down the field to Bryce Oliver as well. I believe that one was for 33.
And that was right after the Ridley TD got taken off the board.
Exactly. So some plays down the field from Will Levis yesterday that were really, really good. I mean, obviously, when you get a 98-yard touchdown, that's going to be the headliner of your day, throwing the football. And that was a – I'll be honest with you. When they dropped back on that play, given where they were on the field, I was watching it, and I was saying, oh, no, 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 no. And then he let it go, and it was a perfect pass. Hit NWI in stride, and when the defender – you can tell the defender just slipped a little bit, and then he was gone, off to the races. So a great play there, obviously, from Levis. NWI makes the play, takes off running down the field, and I saw the stat where he's got more touchdowns than all these big-name receivers in the league right now, including A.J. Brown, by the way.
Uh-oh.
So who needs A.J. Brown when you got NWI?
Exactly.
But overall, I think a pretty good day from Will Levis. What did you make of his performance yesterday, and what do you make now of back-to-back weeks where, you know, it hasn't been perfect, and again, we're talking about an offense that can't get to 20 points. But the quarterback play the last 2 weeks has been certainly improved from where we saw it earlier in the year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Look, he's getting better, and that's what you want to see. It's, as we know, it's been rough. I think just the biggest thing is I just feel like the crazy play stuff has kind of gotten out of his system. You know, like it's not like I don't even feel like he's really been close in the last 2 weeks. Again, he threw the pick late, throwing the ball up, but I can't think of a situation where it was like, oh my God, did he get lucky on that one? Maybe I'm forgetting something. But for the most part, you know, the biggest issue for them, obviously, the last 2 weeks and the last three seasons and all that is protection. It's bad. And yesterday, I don't really put the sacks on him either. Last week, there was a lot of talking. It was fair. A couple times where it's like, man, you got to get out of there or you got to get rid of the ball or whatever. Yesterday, I mean, I feel for the most part when he – and it was, I think, five sacks and he got hit a bunch of times, it was pretty much just terrible blocking, terrible pass blocking. So, you think about him standing in his own end zone with a blitz in his face, a guy about to hit him, yep. And he makes that throw to NWI. I mean, he's certainly not afraid to hang in there, and, you know, he's a tough player. So, no, there's a lot to like about what he's done. Don't want to, you know, just don't want to overreact like Ben is saying. I feel Levis is going to be the 25 version of Daniel Jones contract, and then – won't be the guy, but we'll be stuck with him. I mean, you know, he's had a couple good games. Right. I wouldn't assume anything like that. But hey, this is what the Titans have been wanting to see. Titans fans have been wanting to see. So even if you're quote unquote out on Will Levis, it's still better. You know, it's better this than, you know, just continue to struggle like that. Let's see, you know, see where it goes.
It's good to see something like we talked about, something different,
yeah.
something new, and some improvement. Like it's look, there's no doubt the last 2 weeks. He's played better. Why is that? I don't know. Like maybe getting a few weeks off was good for him to mentally reset. But like you said, like I think the thing that stands out the most is like some of the just the dumb decisions and bad turnovers are out of his game right now. Like even the pick yesterday. I mean, you're late in the game, you're down, and you're having to try to push the ball down the field. So I mean, yeah, the interception looks rough, but it, I mean, in situation of the game, it just kind of is what it is there. I thought he was really sound in his decision-making, particularly given what you said, the circumstances. Minnesota ends up with five sacks, credited with nine quarterback hits yesterday. So he was getting hit pretty often in the game and was still able to stand in there and deliver some good balls. And like you said, like this is a defense that has given most of the quarterbacks that they've played this year a lot of trouble with what they do with their scheme, what they do after the ball is snapped. You know, a lot of offensive coordinators, Brian Callahan talked about that last week. It's a very complicated defense to prepare for, and I thought Levis handled that pretty well yesterday for the most part.
Yeah, no, they made him pay, and that's what you have to try to do. Jared from Spring Hill, Levis looked like how he did last year. Yay, we've seen this already. Well, let's see, last year, when he, you know, two really good games, especially that's why there was hope for this year.
Yeah.
So if he carried over, if he played like he did the last two games all of this year, then it'd be
a different conversation.
Yeah, then it'd be about what I thought, which is like, you know, good enough to be the starter next year. I wouldn't say that right now after two games like this, after everything that's happened, but I don't know. I mean, I think yesterday was a step forward for him, and I think in some ways you could look at that and say it's the best he's played at all in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I thought particularly with, you know, taking some of the chances down the field and the accuracy with the ball. Like that to me, and we've talked about this with him, how accurate can you be consistently with the football? I think still is a big question with him moving forward. The last 2 weeks, he's been pretty accurate with it, which I think is – you know, it's not like he was perfect yesterday, but for the most part, even pushing the ball down the field, Levis and his accuracy was pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just you're reminded that when they do take shots, he really has a feel for that. I think there's still some of the, you know, the outcuts where it'll sail on him and things like that. You know, and some good throws on those too, but especially pushing downfield, he just has he's got a really good touch on the ball, and it's just an easy – I mean, he can just get it down there so easily, you know, with that arm strength.
Take more of your thoughts on Will Levis, his performance yesterday against Minnesota. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, Will Levis, and his performance yesterday. Another step forward for the Titans quarterback. Back-to-back weeks where Levis has played pretty well. And I would say this game, a step forward from even what we saw against LA the week before. Some big plays down the field. Obviously, the 98-yarder to NWI. Taking your thoughts on the Titans quarterback as a whole. And really, my question is, you know, look, they're 2-8. We all know the season's not going anywhere. My question is, like, what does it mean for him moving forward? Like, where is he at right now in terms of how he's viewed within that organization, how they view the quarterback position, and how have the last 2 weeks potentially impacted that? I'm with you. Like, it's been a very positive step in the right direction for Levis the last 2 weeks. By no means am I really even close to willing to sit here and say, well, that means he's back next year and he's the starting quarterback. Like, there's still been a lot of bad that we've seen that he's had to overcome. It is very encouraging that he has been able to do that to this point and has played really well the last 2 weeks. I guess big picture, what does it all mean, and how much more of this do the Titans have to see? What do the Titans have to see to feel good about going with him again next year? Because to me now, at 2-8, it was about that anyway. It's really about that now. Like, that's what the rest of the season is about.
100%. And look, it's – so that was game 16 for him. So basically he now is at that – you know, one season in the league. It's just, to me, it's like, can you keep, is this what he is? And then is he going to keep building from here? Okay, well, if that's the case, then, yeah, I think the conversation has to change. But, you know, 2 games, it's just, can he keep doing it? And then, you know, again, you're judging him, and it is hard because although NWI has emerged as all-pro level playmaker in the NFL, you know, He has decent skill around him. He has atrocious line play, like LD from McMinnville points out. I mean, there were a couple pressures yesterday where Flores dropped 8. And I understand that, you know, you got a twist and you got communication mix up and stuff like that. But, like, 3 guys rushing against 5 blocking and Levis has 0.9 of a second to
should
throw.
Not
happen. It's insane. It's just – so we're judging him, and he just does not get the same support that, you know, a lot of quarterbacks on the good teams in this league get. So you have to keep that in mind. But still, you know, we saw, like you said, there's a lot of bad early in the year, and it's just a lot of it was just straight up on him and on no one else. Last 2 weeks, again, I think especially yesterday. Yesterday was a step up from the last week, which was a step up from what he'd been doing. Is that keep happening, or even can he just – kind of be right in this range over right. and over again? If that's the case, then I do think the conversation changes a little bit.
I'm with you there. I still, like, big picture, like, what does it all mean from this standpoint? There was a lot of really good from him yesterday, right? It's also 3 points in the first half, 13 points in total. And I get it. Like, you mentioned it, the protection – the last 2 weeks has just been brutal. Like, you thought maybe the Titans were taking a step in terms of their protection. Anyway, look, right tackle has been a problem in every game this year, and it's going to continue to be a problem as they move forward here. I mean, when you're bringing in Prince off the street and lining him up 7 yards in the backfield to play right tackle, it just kind of shows you where you're at right now. So that's not going to get any better as they move forward here. Like, the right tackle is going to be a big problem with them all year long. But it did feel like, you know, some other places on the line, you were starting to see some progress. How much of that was progress? How much of that was maybe not playing as good of fronts as they've seen the last 2 weeks in Minnesota? I don't know. And by the way, they got one coming up in Houston that could potentially give them some problems.
Yeah, it might be a little
coming
bit,
up on Sunday.
Tough.
So there's that to look forward to as well. But that's the, you know, the confounding part about all this is, you know, when Levis wasn't playing all that great, the Titans found a way to end up 16, 17 points. When Rudolph was in there, they found a way to end up 16, 17 points. Last 2 weeks, Levis played pretty well, and they've ended up with 17 points and 13 points. Like, it is kind of mystifying that really no matter what quarterback play has looked like, the end result has basically been the same with this Titans offense.
Yeah, they're pretty much, hey, defense. Can you hold the other team to 10? Then I really feel like this team's got a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one way or another, they're going to end up right around that range, which is, yeah, just like claw your eyes out at points, you know, when you're just like, it just doesn't matter what happens. Like someone pointed out here, you know, Joe Burrow's got 3,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 4 picks, and the Bengals are 4-7, but
that's
they
true.
Are scoring points.
They are.
They said they just can't hit a field goal. But, yeah, look, I think I think, you know, when you can't run the ball yesterday, and the red zone is still another big thing, obviously, with this team. I mean, you know, there's a lot of issues with the offense in general. But that's, I mean, the actual play of the quarterback was, you would take that the rest of the year if you're the Titans.
No doubt. No doubt. You know, especially compared to what it has been before that. Travis from Mount Juliet says, how much do we think the Green Bay offensive line contributes to how well Malik is playing compared to how he did in Nashville? And do we fear the same may happen to Levis if we write him off? There's no doubt that the protection situation, and we talked about this with Tannehill at the end of it, certainly with Levis, the protection situation is about as bad as it gets, and it has been for the last 3 years with the Titans. So, like, if Levis was the quarterback now of, you know, I hate to say the Lions because they're kind of an extreme example, but of a competent offensive line, how much different would it look? I don't know. Like, it certainly would probably be better, right? Like, if the conditions around him were better, that has to help your quarterback at some point. Now, like, you know, some of the throws and decisions that Levis were making earlier in the year, I don't really care who your offensive line is. It was just dumb decision-making from the quarterback. Last 2 weeks, he's, I think, really taken a step in that area, which is really good to see. The protection continues to be a problem. And and one thing I do wonder about, Joe, he's done such a good job of standing in there and being unafraid to make the throws and all those things. Like, does that catch up to you at some point? Like, if you can't allow your quarterback to be hit 9 times a game and think that that's going to lead to any sort of long-term success. Like, you can't sustain that at the quarterback position.
Well, that's you know, that's hits in the pocket and pass plays.
Correct.
Also now are using him as a runner, which is interesting. They had the big play, which is read option, which was his fault. I mean, you have to hand that.
He got smoked.
He got absolutely – so between both of those things, yeah, he's taking a lot of hits. I mean, again, he's holding up. He's a big, strong guy.
He is.
But yeah, that's
got
to change. Yeah,
I forgot about that read option play. He got annihilated.
I'm like,
on that play.
Yeah, that's definitely the one you hand that one. He just seems like he's sort of calmed down in some ways, you know. If he had protection and he had like a burner too.
Yeah.
You know, that is like, this is a guy that if he's your quarterback, you need to, you have to find opportunities to push the ball down the field. I mean, that's where he can give you an advantage that some QBs can't do the way he does it. So it's hard when that's your strength. And you can't count on your protection. And look, again, NWI got 98-yard TD pass yesterday. So, hey, it happened. But you can't protect, and then you also don't have really the speed guy. I mean, yeah. Ridley's fast, too. And again, that was a beautiful TD pass to him. More of that is what you want to lean to. It's just hard with the personnel around him to do it too much.
Hey, 58.5 a catch for NWI yesterday. That's a pretty good number. 58.5 per catch.
Is that right? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, he had two catches, but
Levis also missed him on – there was one in the fourth where then he, you know, his eyes were to the left on the play. But if he came off that, he had NWI for – it would have been about another 50.
Look, so, man, the guy does nothing but get open and catch the ball.
Tell you what.
Nothing but get open and catch the ball.
And make interesting dances.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on Will Levis on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Did Will show you the kind of poise and playmaking that you've been waiting on from him?
Yeah, I thought Will did a really nice job today. That part was encouraging. I thought he stood in the pocket, played tough. He was accurate. There's going to be things that we need to clean up, but managing that game against that defense, the complexity of it, all the things that we have in our plan that you have to handle all the things that they do. I thought he did a really nice job. I thought that was another positive step for Will, and I'm proud of the way he played. He fought, he battled, he stood in there and took a few and delivered some really nice throws. And, you know, I wish there was more to show for it.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday after the game. Titans lose 23-13 to Minnesota. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737 1025. Let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Chad in Nashville. Chad, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, morning, guys. You know, when I look at these two quarterbacks in yesterday's game, Darnold and Levis, and it's hard not to see similarities, not necessarily in their game, but in the situations and the way that they were brought into the NFL. You know, both brought in with, you know, Sam maybe more hype drafted earlier, but brought in, ended up both starting too quick. You know, both of them weren't ready to play. But then look at the journey Darnold has, and I almost wonder if that ain't going to similar something will happen with Levis where we'll see him resurface down the road ultimately. And, you know, I thought Will looked pretty good. A lot of ankle passes. I counted 4 ankle passes to receivers, and I'm not sure what that is, but just wondering what your thoughts are on that whole process. Could they end up mirroring each other down the road? Because Sam's getting paid next year.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Chad. I mean, we've kind of talked about that
before. Gawarski's, yeah, that's his scenario. Yeah, he totally thinks that's happening.
Well, and I've said this about Darnold. Look where he got drafted. He got drafted to the Jets, and it's just been a total tire fire there for over a decade at this point. He goes from the Jets to Carolina, and then he ends up in San Francisco in a good situation where he's the backup. And we've had Charles Robinson on, and he's talked about it. Like, the improvements that Darnold made in San Francisco were a real thing. And now you go to a situation in Minnesota where you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison throw the ball to. You have what I think is a really good coach in Kevin O'Connell. And the situation is just good. And a situation for quarterback matters a lot. It's not everything. Like, there are quarterbacks – I mean, quarterback's main job is to make the situation better, and there are a lot of quarterbacks that do that. But there's no doubt that situation is very important in these quarterback discussions. And look, I don't know what it means for Will Levis. Again, I'm not going crazy today on the Will Levis thing. He played really well. He's played well for 2 games in a row. Now, can you keep doing it? Can you keep doing it as you move forward? Because he's going to have to, I think, if he's going to be their plan at quarterback heading into next year. But look, I'm not going to be naive to the fact that the situation around him has been pretty bad from the moment he stepped foot here. And somewhere else down the road, does he end up looking more like a Sam Darnold? That absolutely could happen. We see it increasingly more and more in today's NFL.
Yeah. I mean, to the point of like the ankle passes, there are still layups or close to layups where it's like, man, you got to hit that one. You know, I mean, he misses – I think a little bit too many of those. But then again, he is making way more big-time throws. You know, that's what we were talking about earlier. It's like, not only is he making these mistakes, like, where's the – you know, you're not even seeing, like, you know, that arm talent show off. Well, now we are, so that's good. Look, I'm with you. It's not – that's why I am interested this week to hear the discussion from a lot of people about this because it is getting better. And you get your mind made up on something and – It's way hard to make it to change it, which is natural, and I have no idea what the Titans how they view this, but I do know that the next draft is underwhelming at quarterback. That the Titans have tremendous needs beyond quarterback, and you know, and the veteran possibilities. There's more possibility there because trades happen, but right now there's no obvious answer there, right? So. If he keeps playing like this, again, then that would kind of move into the scenario that I predicted, which is he's okay, he's pretty good, it's enough to get next year, it's not enough to have this long-term commitment. And if that's how it works out, in theory, you could fix right tackle. In theory, you can make things better around him, right? Make things better for the team and – have a better look next year, and then, you know, then you don't have the scenario where you give up and he reemerges and he's comeback player of the year in 3 years. And
for the Arizona Cardinals.
With the Raiders or whatever, you know. But, again, this is all, like, just like you said, let's see. Next week, does he do it again? Week after week, does he do it? I mean, Anthony Richardson was phenomenal.
He was awesome.
Out of nowhere. He's phenomenal against the Jets this last week. He leads them. They're behind. He makes huge throws. And then he, you know, of course, runs it in to win the game. So you never know with these young quarterbacks.
You know who else was good yesterday? Your boy Taysom Hill looked awesome yesterday.
Yeah. Jogging.
Shout out to the Cleveland Browns. It's good stuff.
The Browns let him jog to a 75-yard touchdown. Good job, Cleveland.
We got a couple texts about that today. Hey, Joe, what'd you think about Taysom Hill yesterday?
That's my boy.
Yeah, all right. Get in there. Here's the, you know, we talked about the record. It is what it is. They're 2-8. We all know this season isn't going anywhere. There is, like, the one thing about that I think is really interesting to monitor here. Like, we all know the Titans are bad. They're going to finish with a bad record. I guess the question at this point is how bad is it going to be? Are we talking 3-14? Are we talking, you know, 5-12? Like, what does it end up looking like at the end of the year? And that's interesting to me from the quarterback discussion from this standpoint. You know, we talked about the front office a lot last week. Let's say they decide to keep them at the end of the year and they run this thing back with everybody involved. Like, how does that influence the way they view quarterback? Like, if Carthon and Brinker are back this offseason, I feel good about Callahan being back. But you also, I think, have to know if you're all of those guys, that if your record next year doesn't get dramatically better, there's probably a pretty good chance that you're gone after that. So how does that influence the decision you make at quarterback? Like, if Levis keeps playing like this, close to it, the last 2 weeks, and that's what he is the rest of the year, like, do you look at it and say, you know what? We like what we saw from Levis the second part of the season. He seemed to settle into Brian Callahan's system and what he wants to do, and we know we got to win next year. Like, we know we got to put together a good record, and the best way to do that is to bring him back rather than drafting some rookie and letting him come in here and go through this whole process again. Like, the record part of this is interesting to me from that perspective because, you know, that is a thing in the NFL. Job preservation sometimes happens in the National Football League, and I wonder how that influences quarterback as they move forward here.
Yeah, I guess there's definitely truth. I agree in the idea of the rookie QB thing is if you have to have – you have to hit something next year record-wise, then – you can't feel good about it. Again, that's also one of those things where, I mean, like, Amy has to be involved in the discussions too.
For sure.
But I would say that your best bet then is still to get a veteran, right? If you can get
one.
Yeah, if you can get one. You know, if you can get Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Did you like how Sam Darnold looked? Because he's going to be probably somewhere else next year. You know, Jared thinks they're gonna tag and trade him, maybe. I mean, maybe they'll try to do that, but – he's going to be somewhere else next year, I'm pretty sure.
Just take J.J. McCarthy.
What's that?
Just trade for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, well, if they'll – I wouldn't do
they
that.
They say that we love Sam Darnold, so you guys can have J.J. McCarthy.
That's the thing. I mean
– I have no idea what he is.
I have no idea either. I'd take Will Levis over J.J. McCarthy right now.
I probably would too, but that's just because, I mean, he's just a total unknown.
Right, and usually they don't work out.
Usually not. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans lose 23-13 to Minnesota yesterday. More reaction to that coming up next. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.